My name's Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
Today we're going to be looking at one of the craziest collaborations in American comics history, the Silver Surfer two-issue miniseries by Stan Lee and Mobius.
But first, this is a good one.
Yes, but first, little business.
Octobriana, 1976. This is my latest comic. It is the world's first blacklight comic printed with fluorescent ink, and it is in comic book stores everywhere right now, but selling well. So if you want one and you come across it in your local comic shop, pick it up because it may not last. And if you want to know how I made it, there's a 350-page process zine on my website, jimrugg.com, that'll answer all your questions.
Patreon.com/Ed Piskor for the serialized Red Room comic strips. It's going to see a paper edition come 2021. 2020 is a production year. Early adopters can get a look at the comics at the Patreon. $3 gets you the archive. Issue one is almost completely up there and at a high enough resolution that you could print off your own bootlegs if you like reading comics on paper like we do. But today, Jim, task at hand, the Silver Surfer miniseries.
Incredible. I picked this up cheap whenever I was a kid, just randomly kind of. I didn't really know what was up. I think it may have been my first Mobius.
Yeah, this definitely my first Mobius. My dad would just get these boxes of comic, long boxes, for $7 or something at the flea markets.
I need to comic shop with him.
The 1990s comics investor, speculator, became the 1995 liquidator, and I reaped the benefits of all of that. So yeah, this is absolutely my first Mobius, but I heard of him. And this is a weird comic.
Completely. And it's worth doing a couple of pages, you know, as comparison, because in the collection it's recolored.
Yeah.
Not recolored by Mobius, but he oversees the coloring. I think it's John Wellington, a guy he's collaborated with. Marvel had reprinted a bunch of Mobius stuff in their epic graphic novels.
Right.
So they had a relationship with Mobius. The story is that Stan Lee, I think, is at Comic-Con next to him, and they start talking about doing something together. The nice thing with the book is it does have these extra, these are like Mobius, you know, notes on things,
right?
On wanting to do American comics. You know, this is something we kind of talk about with these different industries around the world and how they have different practices, styles, genres, all this stuff. So Mobius was interested in the American comics, even the coloring, which is one of the cooler things, I think, with the original issues of this is seeing Mobius through that, very limited palette of the Marvel DC Comics coloring at the time. But he there's a sequence in here where he talks about his pens and how they wear down as time goes on. So they get heavier as the story goes on. That blew my mind because I did get this randomly at a pretty young age. And so it was really new to me. The lettering is something that's odd.
Yeah.
He does not color this series, though I think he works closely with the colorist and sort of has a kind of a co-coloring credit. But the lettering was something, that was the first thing I noticed when I started looking at this, and it was like, what the heck is this?
Much more readable in your version, at least in issue one, because let's take a look at that, man. Pretty hard to read.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is Marvel's, like you'll see it in the Indicia too, where its details just aren't going to work on whatever version of newsprint they were using at this point. Maybe the plastic printing plates.
It's definitely flexographic printing because we will see like thin lines in some of the building structures. You can see it here. There's a warping. And when you get the uniform warp, that means the plastic plates are being used.
You know, one more note on the coloring and the two versions of it. Shades of Batman Year One, where your original issues are colored using that traditional process, and then it's recolored for kind of the book graphic novel collection edition.
Very cool to see the plots that Mobius worked from and how the pages turned out, you know, the Stan Lee plot, because this is the least verbose Stan Lee comic that's ever existed.
Here's my question on that. This lettering is in the ink. Mobius draws a lot in ink. It looks like it's part of the original art. Is Mobius scripting this himself?
I think he is. Breaking kayfabe, I have been a part of projects that had a Stan Lee introduction. And the way it worked was somebody else that we were affiliated with wrote the whole introduction in Stan Lee voice. And they send it off to the Stan Lee people. They get a little check mark on it. And then you get to publish it and say that Stan Lee wrote the intro. I think that that's what happened here, because there's never been a less verbose Stan Lee comic. But to argue against that, there's some Stan Lee cheesiness in here towards the end.
Yeah, I mean, I could be wrong. It could be lettered on top. I love this sequence, though. This is where we're first going to see the Silver Surfer. It looks like this homeless guy carrying what has to be a surfboard, obviously. Right. It's not disguised very well, but it's this was just a weird comic for me. You know, like, I didn't know Surfer very well. I didn't know comics very well at the time. And so this is a little bit of a future story, a future setting.
Its own environment. It's not really connected with the Marvel universe at large or anything like that. And honestly, like, it's like Mobius and Stan Lee read the epic Akira and were like, well, let's do a version of that or something.
Could have been. They were probably both on the mailing list, right?
It has that vibe, man. It's you know, here comes Akira.
Talk about dramatic coloring. How about that? You know, this is the arrival of Galactus, and we see color is pulled out of the world. You know, the arrival of a god. So many of these comics, it feels like they have these moments, these world-changing moments that happen.
Yeah. And, of course, when the god comes, instantly becomes a deity, man. People start to worship him. And this is the Akira kind of stuff, man. There's, like, the religious factions that start to worship him and stuff. And, of course, you got some televangelist character who's, like, seizing the opportunity.
Yeah, superheroes as gods. There was somewhere, and it might have been in the collection. Yeah, that's
look at
just
how thin
not,
that is, right?
Not great printing right there. They talk about the Stan Lee plot for this was like 5 or 6 pages, and whenever Mobius broke it down, it became 46 pages. Like Mobius gives credit to it being, it broke down perfectly. Like, obviously Stan Lee knew how to work this Marvel method. And maybe that's what the scripting comes from. You know, like, if he broke that down from the plot, maybe that's what was given to Stan Lee in terms of, like, okay, now dialogue and stuff. Man, the coloring is different than the final book, too, or the book collection. It's really cool to see some of the, you know, like, the magenta Galactus silhouette.
Right. It's a very simple story. And also, Silver Surfer is, like, one of the coolest-looking characters, but really is a twerp. Like, he's just a crybaby.
There it is. Revealed in all his glory. It's not a homeless guy. I like Mobius is good with weight, and I think that helps with the... I think the best Silver Surfers often have that quality of weight or weightlessness that somehow is expressed visually, and I think Mobius does a good job of that.
Interesting way of interpreting the metal. Like, that's always, like, the dicey proposition. How do you sell this as metal in a black and white line?
There's an incredible Marvel Age cover. I think it's issue 71, maybe. It's Mobius. It's for this book, so it's Mobius doing Silver Surfer, and he's. It's using the standard coloring process, like the Marvel process, and it captures that metal thing really well. Also, when I think of Mobius, I think of scale. And,
right.
And again and again, you see it looks so good with Galactus and Surfer next to him. See, that's, I think, a pretty good balance kind of weight.
Sure. And that says it all, too. The mopey, lonely Silver Surfer.
I like the line, the very simple trail line.
Very,
like,
European.
Yeah, very clean line.
Here we're getting to those thicker lines.
Yeah, I wonder, though. It looks almost like a printing.
This right here?
Yeah. It's funny how much you can see it in lettering, you know, like there are some pages where it's just very heavy, a lot of ink. Must have re-inked the rollers or something in that point.
I like how, like, the whole universe is Mobius universe. You know, there are just these errant stairs in places. And
it's really cool, man. You know, I mean, sometimes you'll see guys switch books or characters or someone, you know, maybe from indie comics comes to mainstream, and often you lose part of what they are. Mobius is 100% Mobius.
Yeah.
It's really cool. This was mind-blowing stuff for a young reader, for me.
Me too. The magenta is always... That's Galactus's color. Like, you don't see that color if you don't see Galactus in this comic. I was going to kill you just moments ago. See, that's like Stan Lee. Stan Lee wrote that. But you saved me.
I feel pretty confident. I bet that's what happened.
Yeah.
I bet he was given pretty good layouts, and Stan Lee dialogued and scripted everything from that.
Boom. Bringing media into the narrative.
This is all great. Like, all the shadowy stuff where it's like one line does everything. That's some badass stuff, man.
It is.
That's what comes up again and again, is the idea that Mobius was interested in this kind of coloring. And it was, there was an earlier Marvel Age. This is a fun thing to do some research on. There was an earlier Marvel Age where the epic graphic novels were like previewed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they were colored this way.
Oh, that's nice.
And so, you know, like that comes up where supposedly he liked seeing his art in that kind of American color treatment. And so that was one of the things he wanted to see here. Interesting that the collected book isn't, you know, doesn't follow it, but it's cool. I mean, you can find these pretty cheap.
More cool scale stuff here. Cool color stuff with the mm-hmm. with the different setting.
Yeah, different really color. Nice. Putting yellow against the magenta and the blues, like whoever's coloring this is thinking of those primary colors.
Yeah, allowing some space for the... That looks like it might be just 25% yellow.
It could be. He does really well throughout this both of these issues of negative space.
You know what?
Open kind of stuff.
It definitely is 25% yellow, because you could see just like a little swath of color right there. And there as well, because you could see the white cut into it.
This is 1989. Like, this is close to something like Jeff Darrow's Hard Boiled is 1990. So funny to see these guys like doing American comics around this time period and what their work looks like.
Look at that olive color. You almost never see this color get used in the four color process.
Yeah,
it's strange. None of these colors really. Like everybody sticks to the primaries. Look, he's now a full on devotee of Galactus.
And you know it from his colors. That's a great panel of Galactus face.
Yeah, just like this monolithic. It's like, you know, let's compare him to a Statue of Liberty or something.
Very chiseled.
Yeah.
Wonder what all characters they discussed doing. This is a perfect fit. I can't imagine a better one, but it is funny to imagine, like, because they did the series of Mobius Marvel character posters.
Right.
Like Spider-Man, he'd probably do a killer Spider-Man.
He did one in one of those posters, I think. Mm-hmm. He did a Iron Man.
Yeah, Punisher, an Elektra.
Yeah. It's a good looking White House. Like that's another thing that we can collect and just show a million of, like everybody's version of the White House.
Yeah, you could.
And he didn't cheat. Everybody light boxes, just blows up a $20 bill and you know, traces. He didn't cheat. Final schmoz. Silver Surfer wins. And the American people, the people of the United States rally around Silver Surfer and want him to be their new leader.
Yeah. Yeah, they're voting on which god they want to follow.
Yeah.
Which superhero god they want to be led by. Man, that Galactus ship is a penis, and then we turn the page and there's a building penis.
Yeah, it's a big fucking dog dick. And he's receiving his Nobel Prize or something, and is just thinking, see, this is Stanley's back. Stanley came back. He's definitely right in this, and it's just this like paper bag that he needs to write himself out of. And the best that Stan can think to do is have him accept their nomination as a leader or whatever. But then he starts to lay all these demands out, you know, worship me every Sunday, like all this kind of thing. And the people are like, no, fuck you. But there's one guy in the crowd who's like, he did it for our benefit.
What a weird story.
Yeah, pretty bad ending. And then remember the Super Mario 3 commercial? Mario, 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 pull out, pull out, pull out. And then the earth takes the shape of Mario.
That's funny.
That's around this time. Silver Surfer, he can only be by himself. Nobody can understand. What a
so
bitch.
Sad. You know, I have, like, the original Surfer series has been reprinted, you know, a million times. But yeah. I got an issue somebody had sent us, and it's beautiful. Like, it's unbelievable how good it looks.
Buscema art.
It is. But, you know, it seems like whoever was coloring it was really bringing their A game. He seems to glisten. It just looks spectacular. And you always hear, like, the Stan Lee connection to that character, which, you know, depending on where you come down in Stan Lee Jack Kirby, it can be a kind of a bitter pill. But he's often sort of talked about that, you know, his the nobility of the surfer, right, is this real aspirational character that he connects to. I think that you see that in all of these stories, you know, where they are grandeur.
Yeah.
It's almost God chess pieces characters, you know, more than superheroes. Like, this is not Spider-Man at all.
It shows off Stan Lee's level of writing ability, because he's aspiring to something that he's not quite reaching.
Right. It is purple prose for the 7-year-olds or something.
Yeah, well said.
I would note again that Mobius doesn't color this. He does, you know, he's co-credited or you know, works closely with the colorist. But he does letter it. And that was so atypical for comics. So, like, I get hold of this at a young age, and that lettering is just like it's from a different planet. It's so weird. And then he talks about it in that collected edition, you know, and the lettering being an extension of the drawing and part of the storytelling and everything. That was a really different way to think about making comics in an American comic.
Right.
Especially, you know, an American Marvel superhero comic. A very different thing. All these little pieces are the stuff that then I would just cling to, and I would just turn over in my head again and again and think like, oh yeah, the lettering. The lettering is really important. It's part of the drawing.
You know, I just realized like this is where the Quentin Tarantino rewrite in Hunt for Red October is where it comes from, man. The argument between who draws the best Silver Surfer, Mobius, and I think Denzel Washington's like, we all know it's Jack Kirby. I forgot about that.
Where do you come down on it, man? John Buscema's Silver Surfer is pretty spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no dog in the fight. Like, I sort of could care less. Eddie, how about I get out of here?
Yeah, that's it.
Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when the next videos are available. Octobriana's in shops, but not for long. So you better buy that baby as fast as you can. The Red Room comic strip is being serialized on Patreon right now, patreon.com/edpiskor. $3 gets you the complete archive.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we're doing. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merch at the links below this video. And Ed, I gotta say one more time before we get out of here, I love these covers. Beautiful totally. Covers, man.
And I have to say that I decided that Kirby's my Silver Surfer. I was thinking about a couple splashes. I'm in that camp. Give them the marching orders, Jimmy.
Read more comics.